Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle is here with me, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got a good show. Penn State football. Looking back, looking forward here. We're starting a series in just a moment. Re-ranking recruiting classes that are playing a part in the 2019 team. And that goes back to the 2015 class, which we will break that down, look at who's left from that class, the impact that they made, and in the end there, we will re-rank the 2015 recruiting class. Something tells me number one is going to stay the same. We'll touch on that in just a moment. We're going to continue our player profile series. Six more players, I think six, maybe less, depending on how off the rails we go. Just looking at the guys who are on the roster, what we expect from them in 2019, what their recruitment was like, where they came from, where we think they're going, even beyond the 2019 series. So we'll go season. So we'll work our way through the roster. We got two more parts of that series coming up for you. I really enjoyed the first part of the series that we did. And you'll find, like I think we found, that I think every player on the roster, every scholarship player is intriguing now. Every player came with some amount of expectation. There's a lot of big-time recruits, which I know is not a surprise given the way that James Franklin's recruited. So, speaking of that, he arrived in 2014, James Franklin did, had to scramble to put together his first recruiting class. That meant keeping guys in the fold who were previously committed. That meant, in a lot of cases, bringing guys with him who had committed to him at Vanderbilt, including Trace McSorley. That meant closing the deal late with a guy like Saeed Blacknall, for example. But the 2015 class, which is the one that we're looking at now, was James Franklin's first full class. And you know, I think without viewing this in the context of all the other classes, there were quite a few guys who didn't quite pan out. That happens in every class. We know that. There was also the situation here, Greg, where I believe it was in September of the 2015 season or the 2014 season that they learned they were getting scholarships back.
Correct.
So they didn't have for almost – you know, for two-thirds of the whole recruiting cycle, they were operating with a certain number of scholarships in mind, and then the NCAA gave some scholarships back. So what you saw late in the cycle, which this is a good starting point for breaking down this class, what you saw late in the cycle were some offers and some pursuits of Plan B guys to fill out the class. And to me, that's one of the most interesting things about this class is the Plan B guys were very, very good in this class.
Yeah.
I'll give you the list of names and you can kind of – Robert Windsor from Wisconsin was the lowest rated, according to 24/7 Sports, the lowest rated player in the class. And we've seen already, you know, a breakout year from him last year and maybe another big year coming as a senior. Kevin Givens was late. He was a defensive end slash linebacker, ended up being a interior defensive lineman who left a year early for the NFL. Nick Bowers showed promise, went through some injury stuff for a couple years, and now you're starting to get some vibes now where he could have a big year in 2019. And then Sharif Miller came along, I think it was late in January of that cycle.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and verify, but I'm pretty sure he was not very highly acclaimed out of Philadelphia either. You saw what happened with him. He also left early for the NFL. Tommy Stevens was another one. They had a commitment from Brandon Wimbush. That obviously didn't work out. He left, decommitted, flipped to Notre Dame, and they offered and got Tommy Stevens, who was previously committed to Indiana, and his best days are still ahead. So, but your thoughts on this class and that list of names that they got late in the cycle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Penn State in the early part of the James Franklin era was really pushing hard for a mixture of guys that they have built relationships with in Penn State's traditional footprint, but also still some guys that they were aiming for at Vanderbilt and continue to recruit when they got to Penn State. Now, obviously, the quality of guy they could get changed a bit as, you know, as the coaching change existed, because Penn State was just on a higher pedestal than Vanderbilt. So they were able to get some higher recruited guys and some bigger name guys, but ultimately they still had to fill in some of the pieces. And that's always going to be the case with every school and every recruiting class. But this one had a nice mixture of get late additions that panned out really well, and some guys that looked like they were going to be stars that turned into stars. And then, of course, a few guys that, that really made a very big impact on Penn State, and then some guys that left early too.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for the class itself, there were, you know, there were a lot of guys who, transferred out this, a lot of the transfer situation. A lot of those guys came from the 2015 class. You had a couple other guys, just, you know, some disciplinary type stuff. Kamonte Carter, Manny Bowen, and Daquan Kelly, who you recall committed, and within what, a couple, about a month or so,
yeah,
was off the team and someplace else. So it's an interesting mix of players. You also had Paris Palmer coming in here, but looking at the guys who transferred at some point or another, Aaron Monroe, Jarvis Miller, Brandon Polk were part of this most recent wave. Sterling Jenkins never saw the field. That's a different story. Juwan Johnson from this class ended up transferring out to Oregon. Irv Charles, Andre Robinson, Cam Carter, Manny Bowen. So it seems like a high number, right, of guys who transfer. But at the same time, this was exactly the class that you would expect to transfer when the transfer portal kind of changed the way that they were doing business. These were guys who had graduated and had some options for the most part, and they were also guys who had been around long enough to see the writing on the wall.
That's correct. So just to go back, I finally found my notes of when guys actually committed. That's the one thing that once guys sign and all the recruiting trackers flip them to sign, it can be really hard to find when they committed. Sharif Miller was January 26th, so very close to signing day. Nick Bowers, Jan 27th. John Patrician, Feb 1. Kevin Givens, Feb 4. Remember, he was committed to Pittsburgh. So that last push to signing day really ended up Penn State had a bunch of guys that, you know, Givens and Miller are chasing the NFL dream now. Bowers and Patrician are, you know, obviously hoping to finally be contributors this year after a pretty lengthy amount of time on campus without really being able to push through in terms of high rep count and playing time. So that's very interesting. And then, you know, you look at some of the other guys that Penn State is able to get. This was a class that sort of developed itself in the spring and summer before the 2015 season, or 2014 season rather, and then really kicked into high gear once that season ended.
And we've gone all this time, we're really so you know, looking forward, that we didn't even mention Saquon Barkley, who was the top rated player in this class according to 24/7 Sports, but clearly not enough. According to 247, he was a four-star, number 13 running back in the country, number 2 player in Pennsylvania, number 119 overall. Nobody really saw that type of transcendent player. But, anytime a guy makes a leap like that, nobody really sees it coming. Saquon Barkley probably didn't even see that coming. He believed it. But, you know, for him to arrive at 5'11", 190 and leave at pushing 230 pounds while getting faster and quicker and putting that spectacular game film down, it's not hard to see how his development went. And, you know, really it's interesting with him, and he really got Penn State going down a path when it came to running back recruitment, to the point where now we're looking at the 2020 class. You're surprised if Penn State doesn't get a 5-star or the number 1 all-purpose back, or otherwise get a big-time player at running back. And I think he played a huge part in how kids who are 15, 16, 17 years old view Penn State and how they use the running back position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he's changed the game for so many different reasons at Penn State. There's no debate or argument over that. And I think really when it comes down to it, Dustin, that's one of the great things and the tough things about recruiting rankings, is that sometimes they're really spot on and they hit the nail right on the head. Other times they don't. And the reason for that can be numerous, but ultimately a lot of the times it comes down to how big these guys get once they get there versus what they were in high school. Saquon Barkley was a very productive high school player, but he didn't have first round second number two overall pick written all over him like some guys do coming out of high school. He grew into and became that player. And, you know, if everyone had a shot to redo the rankings, of course they'd move him up higher. There's no question about that. But he was what he was coming out of high school. And then at Penn State, he grew into and developed into obviously one of the best NFL players and certainly one of the best young NFL players and top college football players that Penn State's ever seen.
Here's a fun fact. He's also the best quarterback on the New York Giants roster right now. So that's nice. That's part of it. So I think you can never really see that coming. But, you know, you look at the top of the class by the 24/7 rank, Saquon Barkley, John Reed, Garrett Taylor, Juwan Johnson, Ryan Bates. To some degree, they all backed up what they brought to the table as high school prospects. Juwan Johnson, yeah. you can nitpick. You can say that he fell off a cliff or whatever last year. I will be curious to see how he bounces back this year. Then you get down to the number six player in the class, according to 24/7, was Sterling Jenkins. And his recruitment, obviously
– it's like the inverse of what we just talked about.
It is absolutely is. So he – you know, if you go back to that recruiting cycle – he was very highly regarded for raw ability alone. And what you started to see late in the cycle as he worked his way through his senior season at Baldwin out in Western PA was that the results just weren't coming and recruiting services started to sour on him a little bit. He still held strong because of where he was coming from and because of him being 6'8", 305 and a pretty good athlete at that size. He wasn't going to tumble completely, but he was moving backwards when he signed to play at Penn State.
Right.
And then what ended up the concern about him as a high school prospect ended up that playing out at Penn State too, where you just didn't get a sense outside the program that he was anywhere near in a situation where he could possibly see the field.
Right.
And a lot of people would point at that and say, I told you so. I kind of view it as that's what you get in the recruiting and, you know, compare recruiting to drafting players.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're recruiting on potential alone with the hopes that you've got the infrastructure, you've got the strength program, you've got the coaching, you've got the development to be able to turn that raw potential into something you can use, and it just doesn't happen 100% of the time.
No, it doesn't. And at the end of the day, I mean, there's three types of recruiting evaluations. One are you can see a guy and you're trying to project what he's going to be based on what he is. One is a guy is just turning in, you know, looks like a superstar and could be a superstar. I think of Micah Parsons in that particular regard. And then one is a guy that maybe looks like a star, but maybe he's not going to continue to develop. Maybe he hit a ceiling. Those are the three things you have to watch for. And this class had a mixture of those three things for sure.
Had a mixture of a lot of different things. Discipline, transfers, guys who exploded, guys who fizzled. Most classes you can say the same thing, but I will hold the 2015 class up. Not one of James Franklin's best, and right. I think there were a lot of circumstances behind that. We're going to continue looking at this class and re-rank that class in just a moment in the next segment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey. Played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.